some semblance of the chimes.
Harmonics.
Harmonics.
On your banjo? That's not good.
It's 58.
Can you do the full fret? I mean, the full width of the... It's different with the capo one, isn't it? Just even, I don't think it's horse racing.
No, I'm sure it's not. I was just testing the chimes.
One pass through Gold Rush?
Play something and then we'll start.
All right.
You guys have to pace, I'm just rhythm.
Oh, well then let me start.
Those are the chimes.
Banjo chimes.
All right. Well, good morning.
I don't know which way to look this morning, so we're kind of divided, but that's okay. As long as everybody can hear, we're in good shape. So glad that you're here. Hope you don't get too much sun, but feel free if you need to move as the shade moves. Feel free to move about. Don't be just stuck baking in the sun. But we've got some fun stuff with our musicians here and gathered up to give us some good music. Just want to let you know about a few things that are going on otherwise. Things, even though we're outdoors and all that stuff, things that we're doing are fairly familiar. So we also have a special commissioning today for those of us who are heading off to the Youth Triennium in a couple of weeks. And then we've also got what is now open is, and you'll see the announcement there, the Labor Day retreat that we are a part of with First Press in Portland. Registration is now open. There'll be a link that we'll send to you this week online that you can register online. There's a little bit of a discount for early bird registering for that. There's a activity fee you don't have to worry about paying. That's part of the incentive to get people signed up before the end of July. But anyway, so look for that. Watch for those announcements and things about the Labor Day retreat. I think there were also papers that were on the Deacon table that we had ready from before. That's a lot more information. But it was in the newsletter that came out this week as well, a couple of pages that explain and tell you everything going on with that retreat. So we hope that you could make a way to be a part of that, even if you only come out for like Saturday and come out for the day. That you can be a part of the retreat that way. You don't have to spend the night at camp, but if you can spend the whole weekend, even better. Makes it for a great experience. So that's going on. So that, Triennium. Next Sunday, we're back inside for a Communion Sunday. And we don't have any particular 4th of July activities on the day, but we're here with a picnic that follows today. We've got burgers and dogs that'll be on the grill. We've got food that you brought to go along with them. So we're just going to be here with some games on the lawn. I even hear there's some water balloon launch where they're attempting to nail me with a water balloon. So I am not worried. I have absolutely no confidence in anybody's ability to do that. So there's the challenge right there. Anyway, but as we get going this morning, let's get ourselves started in worship on this day. Jason is our helper on this morning, and we're glad to have him come along and do that. So let's begin worship together.
Hallelujah. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise God out under the sky. Praise God for acts of power. Praise God for magnificent greatness. Praise God with banjo picking. Praise God by strumming by a guitar. Praise God with mandolin and voice. Praise God with clapping hands. Let every living, breathing creature praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Dear God, we come to worship you today. We come to sing, pray, and listen. You always hear us. Help us to hear you. Amen.
Amen. Music-wise, we got a beautiful life.
Are we up? Nice.
Yeah.
All right, on this song, you can sing along on the echoes. Each day I'll do a golden deed.
A golden deed.
By helping those
who are in need.
My life on earth
is but a span.
And so I'll do the best I can.
Evening sun
is sinking low.
A few more days and I must go.
To be a
child
of God each day.
Of God each day.
My light must shine.
My light must shine.
Along the way.
Along the way.
I'll sing his praise.
I'll sing his praise.
While the ages roll.
While the ages roll.
And try to help.
And try to help.
Some troubled soul.
Life's evening sun.
Life's evening sun.
Is sinking low.
Is sinking low.
A few more days.
A few more days.
And I must go.
And I must go to deed the deed.
To meet the deed.
That I have done.
That I have done.
Where there will be.
Where there will be.
No setting sun.
Life's evening sun.
Life's evening sun.
Is sinking low.
Is sinking low.
A few more days.
A few more days.
And I must go.
And I must go to meet the deed.
To meet the deed.
That I have done.
That I have done.
Where there will be.
Where there will be.
No setting sun. No.
Have a seat, have a seat. In Christ, God came among us not to condemn, but to seek and to save that which was lost. And in Christ, God called us not because we were righteous, but while we were yet sinners. And in Christ, God shows us the truth about God's self and about ourselves, a truth that sets us free. So let's move closer to God as we come in prayer and release those things that keep us separated from God, and bring those as we pause in silence. O caring and compassionate Creator, we are here, out in the open, to remember that you are present with us out and about and wherever we go. Forgive us for never being satisfied with what we have, and remind us that in you we always have more than we need, for you are the God of abundance. We tend to live more by fears than by faith, and are often weighed down by what we do not have, rather than rejoicing in your gifts and your presence with us. So, loving Savior, draw us so close that we cannot help to know that you are with us every day and in every way. Expand our capacity to care and to serve so that we see you in all whom we meet. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
People steal, they cheat and lie for the wealth and what it will buy. Don't they know on a judgment day that the gold and silver will melt away? I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and to know that my poor soul is saved than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and doom my soul. Thank you. what good is gold and silver too? If your heart's not pure and true, sinners, hear me when I say, fall down on your knees and pray. I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and know that my poor soul is saved than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and do my soul. So
with that, know God's assurance that in this moment God is the one who turns us around, who opens our eyes, who renews our faith, who forgives our sins. So we are truly blessed. Thanks be to God. And for that, that thanks, and whether you can want to get up out of your seats and greet the folks around you, let's pass the peace as we do. So may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let's spread it around.
With you. I don't mean to sing with my back to you, but I got no choice. I told Don, smile that way.
No choice to sit there.
Probably a bit of shade, probably.
Peace to you.
Peace.
Peace to you. Peace to you.
And me too.
Good to have you along.
Oh, don't you know?
No tripping allowed.
Well, when it seems like when people are kind of done screwing around,
thank you for
then
being
you got
my pleasure. Thank you.
I'm a pilgrim. All right, that's next. Okay.
We're gonna do that right now.
As soon as they settle, when people get back to this.
How do we start this?
I think I'm doing a turnaround.
In pink dress.
Yeah.
She's a 3-year-old. She's got some sort of condition.
Oh. Mike maybe. I mean, she didn't seem small for her age or anything.
You get to show off your golden shirt.
All right, Lexi's going to stay with me because we need the kids to come on up after this song. So stay here with me.
Yeah, I got to move.
Right after this song, kids, come up. Here we go.
Where are we going?
Nope. I'm just going to hang here until this song's done.
Oh, okay.
Give me a tempo.
All right.
Okay. Two, three, one.
I am a pilgrim and a stranger, traveling through this wearisome land. I've got a home in that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not made by hand. Well, I've got a mother, a sister, and brother, who have gone on to that other shore. And I'm determined to go and see them, good Lord, and live up there forevermore. I am a pilgrim and a stranger, traveling through this wearisome land. I've got a home in that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not made by hand. Mm-hmm. when I go down to that river of Jordan, just to bathe my weary soul. Well, if I can touch the hem of his garments, good Lord, I do believe he'll make me whole. I am a pilgrim and a stranger, traveling through this wearisome land. I've got a home in that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not, not made by hand. All of my friends, they'll gather round. Well, they'll say he's just laying there sleeping, good Lord, but my soul, it's heaven bound. I am a pilgrim and a stranger, traveling through this wearisome land. I've got a home in that yonder city, good Lord, and it's not, not made by hand, and it's not, not made by man.
All right, all right, all right. Okay, come on out here with me. Come here, Lexi. Or not, yet. Lexi's coming. Ariana's coming.
Coming.
Who else is coming? Jason, Ben.
Zoe,
good.
Ethan.
Zoe and Ethan? Cool. Zoe and Ethan? Good. All right. No, no, you're fine. We're standing right here. I brought with me a hunk of bread. So, figure out with me. Yeah? If I keep this for myself and eat the whole piece myself, how many people will it feed?
One.
Very good. It'll feed me, right? Does it help you? No, it doesn't help you at all. So what would help so that you can all have some? You gotta break it up a little bit, huh? If I share some, everybody gets some. If I keep it for me, only I get it. Story that we're gonna tell here in a little bit about a prophet who, a woman was going to eat what she said was her last meal. And yet when this prophet said, if you bake some and give some to me, you'll have enough food to keep you going for months and months and months. And so she did. She trusted the prophet who said that God would take care of her needs, and they had bread that they were able to just keep on eating, and it had made some for everybody. So, that's the way that we're supposed to work with the food that God gives us. There's enough food around for everybody to have some. But if we keep it for ourselves, then not everybody gets it. And that works that way not just for us here, works that way around the whole world. There's plenty of food for everybody. So, that's what we want to be able to do. Is you can have, we're going to break it up so you can have some too. How's that? You want some, Zoe? There you go. There you go. Ooh, there you go. You're welcome, you're welcome. There you go. Which one? Which one you want? Here, I'll take the crust. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you always give us what we need. Help us to share what we have so everyone has enough. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. All right. And we always know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. Play along.
Tells me so, and those who in me belong, they are weak but he
Probably having a hunk of bread right now is not was not a good thing. Well, let's prepare ourselves to hear God's word. Gracious God, we thank you that you provide for our needs, not just with food and sustenance, but you provide for our spiritual needs and our emotional needs as well. So fill us now with your word. Help us to hear what you have to say this morning, so that we can indeed live as your joyful and trusting people, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture this morning takes us a step backwards in a way from where we were last week. Last week, we dealt with the prophets of Baal, the Baal gods, and Elijah had this contest. Is there a song?
There's supposed to be a song.
Well, what the heck? Play the song. That's why we have these people here. Okay.
We don't mind waiting.
No, let's do a song.
Switch places?
Just things are out of order. I'm out of order.
It's up to you, whatever you want.
What are we singing?
Let's sit and I'll aim the mic down a little.
While they're setting up, I don't. There you go. Hopefully, there you go. Because they've been around in the past, that you've been able to meet Donna, who's usually has a banjo in her hands, but now has a guitar. And we know Bill McCall and Molly McCall. And so, anyway, all we're missing is Matt. But Matt, I think Matt is going
to
come.
He's hoping to make it.
Matt is hoping to come for lunch and play along and jam a little bit with these guys. So, anyway.
We hope.
Carry on. What are we? I'm a pilgrim.
No.
Nope.
No, we did that. Far banks of Jordan.
There you go.
There we go. So,
sing out.
Okay. One, two, one.
I believe my steps are growing weirder each day. Still I have a journey on. Lures of this old world have ceased to make me want to stay. My one regret is leaving you behind. If it proves to be God's will that I am first to cross, and somehow I've a feeling it will be. When it comes your time to travel likewise, don't feel lost, for I will be the first one that you see. And I'll be waiting on the fireside banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand.
I'm forgetting my lyrics.
You come and we'll see paradise. And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters.
back to a little scripture. Tell you a story. But this is a step backwards from where we were last week with Elijah and the battle that he did with these prophets of Baal. This takes another step back. This is still dealing with what the Baal god and these idolatry did to the folks by trusting in something that was nothing. And so this is Elijah visiting with a widow in a place called Zarephath. It is outside of the land of Israel. It is to the north along the coast of the Mediterranean. So this is somebody who is, in a sense, many ways thought of to be outside of God's care, of Yahweh's care, because they're outside the land. The belief was that the God of the people stayed within the borders. And so everybody had their own God. Well, Yahweh proves to cross borders and be much bigger than folks thought. So the Lord's word came to Elijah. Get up and go to Zarephath near Sidon and stay there, and I've ordered a widow there to take care of you. So Elijah left and went to Zarephath. And as he came to the town gate, he saw a widow collecting sticks. And he called out to her, "Please get a little water for me in this cup so I can drink." And she went to get some water. And he then said to her, "Please get me a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any food, only a handful of flour in a jar and a bit of oil in a bottle. Look at me. I'm collecting 2 sticks so that I can make some food for myself and my son. We'll eat the last of the food and then die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go and do what you said. Only make a little loaf of bread for me first, then bring it to me. You can make something for yourself and your son after that. This is what Israel's God, the Lord, says. The jar of flour won't decrease and the bottle of oil won't run out until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So the widow went and did what Elijah said. So the widow, Elijah, and the widow's household ate for many days. The jar of flour didn't decrease, nor did the bottle of oil run out, just as the Lord spoke through Elijah. And after these things, though, the son of the widow, who was the matriarch of the household, became ill. His sickness got steadily worse until he wasn't breathing anymore. And she said to Elijah, "What's gone wrong between us, man of God? Have you come to me to call attention to my sin and kill my son?" Elijah replied, "Give your son to me." And he took her son from her, carried him to the upper room where he was staying. Elijah laid him on the bed, and Elijah cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, why is it that you've brought such evil upon the widow that I'm staying with by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself over the boy 3 times, and cried to the Lord, "Lord, my God, please give this boy's life back to him." And the Lord listened to Elijah's voice and gave the boy his life back, and he lived. And Elijah brought the boy down from the upper room of the house, gave him to his mother, and Elijah said, "Look, your son is alive." "Now I know that you are really a man of God," the woman said to Elijah, "and the Lord's word is truly in your mouth." This is the word of the Lord. I'm always amazed that it takes her son being risen up for her to now believe Elijah, even though the flour and the oil hadn't run out for many days. That wasn't enough, in a sense. One more trusting act took place. But how much is enough for any of us? What do we need to have happen? Oftentimes, one of the things that we like to get teased about is the lottery. We think that would be a good thing. There was just last week, there was someone who had a winning lottery ticket they figured out from a Lucky Spot store in Southeast Portland, and the manager helped this person do a little dumpster diving to retrieve the ticket. It ended up being a $1,200 ticket. Not a bad winning. But in Wisconsin, back in March, there was the winning Powerball ticket. It was purchased amongst $10 worth of tickets, and this guy, Manuel Franco, 24-year-old, ended up with $768.4 million. That's a $477 million lump sum before taxes, $326 million after taxes. Seems like enough. What about $1.5 billion? That was a ticket that was purchased last fall, somebody taking a scenic drive through South Carolina. Largest cash payment in all of U.S. history ended up being $877,784,124. Seems like maybe more than enough. We could live on that for a little bit, but what's enough? We're promised that we're going to get enough from all kinds of products and people that are around us all the time. Abundance comes in all kinds of forms, but who is to decide what's enough? The supplier or the receiver? And is what you are offered from all of these folks who make these claims, does it really meet the real needs? Or do you end up getting oftentimes a lot less than what you expected? So we're introduced to this widow of Zarephath, and through her encounter with the God of Israel, with Yahweh, through Elijah, she gets all that she needs. She gets all the dough necessary to continue to make bread, all the oil necessary to bake that flatbread for months, and it keeps her and herself and this strange prophet alive during a drought. A drought has already been going on for a few years at this point. Now the prophet Elijah, he's wandering through a world that is suffering the effects of these broken promises because people are devoted to this false Baal god, this idol. And this idol attracts folks because it promises abundance. It's to be the endless supplier of fertile ground. Baal is the fertility god. So the crops are supposed to grow. Things are supposed to be great. And fertile wombs for even growing families. That's what the ancient peoples believed about this god. And here they are struggling for survival, wanting to hear and gain what they needed to have. But a little g god, a false god, an idol that doesn't actually exist, has a lot of trouble trying to keep a promise. So last week, we had that encounter of Elijah with this false god and the false prophets. So Baal, a fertility god, is then in charge of the rain. And so, but yet there's a drought that's pronounced in God's name by Elijah through Yahweh. And the drought predicted is a judgment against these false promises, a proof that Baal is a bogus god. So in this story, it shows whose promises can be trusted, whose ability to supply actual needs is without limit. So, commanded by God, Elijah heads deep into what is Baal country and seeks out this widow, Zarephath. The meaning of the name is a smelting shop, so it's for smelting, a workshop for smelting and refining metals. It's a small Phoenician town. It's up the Mediterranean coast. It's now called a place called Zarephend, and it's about a mile inland off the coast between Tyre and Sidon. So it's way out of the land of Israel up to the north. And this widow and her child are starving. So Baal, the fertility god that they worship, has come up cruelly and tragically short. So Elijah comes and he requests food from the starving single mom. And it may sound at first as if he's trying to rub her nose in the fact that they worship this Baal god. But it's not the case, because what Elijah's really doing is granting her the invitation, the opportunity, to discover where real abundance can be found. The gift of knowing who truly is a deliverer and will give what is needed and not false and empty promises and hopes. So Elijah asks the widow to make him dinner and assures her that he knows the one true God, the one who supplies needs. And if she does this, that this God will make sure that her supplies last and she stays alive. So you wonder with this widow, after being in a sense burned by the promises of Baal that don't come to pass, is she going to be much more skeptical and sarcastic, kind of roll her eyes at Elijah and say, oh yeah, one more promise from some prophet rolling through town? And you can't really blame her. She's been burned before, but Elijah's invitation at least gives her one more opportunity. And for us, as we mentioned last week, we still live in a world full of Baals, full of false gods. And what do all these idols, in a sense, around us, these false gods, promise? We get promises of things like a career that's going to be successful and give us total security. And then we find out that as long as we offer ourselves with inappropriate amounts of time and devote ourselves to the altar of sacrifice and sacrifice family and other relationships, this Baal God can come in the form of the newest gadgets, iPhones, tablets, all kinds of laptops and things, and all things that are supposed to help us advance our productivity and make us have endless knowledge and the fact of being pretty cool because we got the latest gadgets. But the price you pay is to be able to afford to keep on doing that time after time with every advancement that gets made. And the Baal God comes in the form of philosophies like secular humanism that is being spewed out by philosophy professors who live in academic bubbles someplace, promising enlightenment and self-actualization without any belief in a higher power beyond ourselves. And so what we're left with is that there's no room for the divine, and we are left without any meaning beyond just ourselves. And Baal comes too in the form of those Powerball lotteries and scratch-it tickets where the winnings sort of blind you to the fact that you're more likely to be struck by lightning. And even those who win, we oftentimes hear the stories of how they actually end up losing in the end. So we're constantly deceived by the promise of endless supply, of being able to get the abundance of enough and more than enough, failing to realize that these false promises cannot be fulfilled. What the idols give us is not what we need, and we are left in a drought. And our world is filled with those who've suffered from empty promises and then now wonder if there's really any God that is worth trusting at all. The good news, though, is just because some gods fail does not mean that there is no God at all. And just because some promises fall short, it doesn't mean that all promises are just garbage. There is one who can offer a lifetime supply of the stuff that we truly need, and that's what Elijah was there to demonstrate to the widow and demonstrates continually to us out in the world. The true giving God is made known through prophets like Elijah, through the one who comes as the one true God in Jesus the Christ. So we're supposed to then be able to shift our focus off of these false gods, these Baal gods, and these promises that have time and time again proven to be empty, and come to know the God that is shown to us by Elijah, the God who's embodied in Jesus, and the one who's done nothing but demonstrate faithfulness, and the one who supplies our deepest needs. So Baal makes promises that can't be kept and offers stuff to us that does not really satisfy what we truly need, which is not so with the true God, not so with Jesus. It's been demonstrated over time. It's already been held true, and the abundance does not run out. The difference is we're not going to be promised, and we're not going to get everything that we want. God does not supply our greeds, but God will always supply all of our needs. Amen? And amen. We have a special opportunity now that we've got three of us that are going along as leadership for this youth trinam that comes up in a couple of weeks. And April is coming along as one of the participants. And Tom, as our education elder, is going to take us through a little commissioning process with this. So we need to come up and do this.
You do.
Yeah.
The Presbyterian Youth Triennium is a conference that happens every 3 years. It's a national conference sponsored by PCUSA. Thanks. Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
I'm going to lean down like this. The Presbyterian Youth Triennium is a conference that happens every 3 years within the PCUSA denomination. It's a gathering of young people and adults from all over the United States and actually the world where we get together to worship, play, pray, and have a sense of community. It's a chance to connect with people from walks of life all over the country and indeed the world and see what faith is like in those places and to share stories in a lot of ways. The theme for the 2019 year is Here's My Heart. You know, the words from the really famous hymn, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. It expresses our deepest desire to be part of something bigger and more beautiful than the tiny flicker of our own individual candles. It speaks of passion and identity. It speaks of purpose and action. The first letter of John says, quote, let us not love in word and speech, but in truth and action. So April, Celeste, Lisa, and Bob, God has called you to experience this amazing conference, but not just to be there, but to put yourself fully out there, the true self that is you, in search of a deeper connection with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you offer your hearts to experience the triennium, I ask you to make these promises. Do you promise to open your heart to all that God will offer you as you experience the Presbyterian Youth Triennium? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you promise to give of your hearts to those around you to help them also grow in faith? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you promise to share your hearts with others when you return, so that even those of us who can't be with you might be blessed by your presence there? If so, say we do.
We do.
And this is where you all come in. As April, Celeste, Lisa, and Bob have made promises for when they embark on this journey, we, as representatives of the Church Universal and here at HPC, we are also called to participate with them in their experience through our promises to them. Therefore, do we promise to pray for our participants and seek to learn from them when they return? If so, say, we do.
We do.
I better hope so. May the God of ages past, of all time, be with you now, continually loving, teaching, and calling you to give your whole heart, all four of you. Amen. And as the conference is always held at Purdue University, my alma mater, I also have to say, boiler up and hail Purdue.
Amen.
Whoops.
Let us give thanks to God with all that we are and all that we have. God's works are great, and God's generosity never gives out. Let us pray. Dear God, we offer you our praise. We offer you our hearts. We offer you our money. We offer you our lives. Thank you for everything you give to us. Amen.
Amen. They're going to pass the plates around. So.
Okay. Keep going until we get enough. Thank you.
didn't want it to stop, so we just kind of let it keep going.
I didn't see any plates being passed anymore.
It was all right. Let's, background prayer music. We could use that. Anyway, let's come in prayer together as we conclude things here. We have one more song to finish with, and one that I'm sure that you know well. But let's come in prayer on this day. We cry to you for help, O Lord, for you alone have the power to restore our lives. So hear us, O Lord, and be gracious to us. Give bread to those who are hungry, and drink to those who thirst. Give life to those who are dying, and grace to those who are sick with sin. Give justice to those who are oppressed, and peace to those who live in fear. Give comfort to those who mourn, and hope to those who despair. And give us grateful hearts, especially in this week, for this great land and nation. Remind us often just how blessed we are, and blessed with the purpose of sharing all of which we have been blessed. Give us the hearts to reach out to those who truly need all that we have to share. And as you did for the widow and her son through your prophet, increase our trust to share what we are given, knowing that you are a God of abundance and provide all that we need. So thank you for the example of that trust that is shown in our Lord and our Savior Jesus, the one who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Shall we sing it out?
Sing it out. Swing low, sweet chariot. Here we go. This one we know.
You guys join in on all those coming for us.
One, five, one, one.
I'm going to do slow first.
Okay.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry. Donna. Carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me.
home. Tell all my friends that I'm coming to, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I said I'm coming for to carry me home.
All right, amen and amen. Well, we are to know that our lives are a gift of God's grace, lives to be useful, lives to be shared. So let's go out in trust, knowing that we are to serve the God who is able, the one who is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. So may the blessing of this triune God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer of life, go with you now and always. And all of God's people said, hallelujah and amen. All right, we got a little more music that'll play, and we'll shift gears into a picnic. Prayer for the food. Didn't we prayed? Amen. Okay. For the food. Go. Here, we got some instructions for you.
I'm gonna move that. Okay, so where we start getting the food is on the red table. You get the food on the red table, you're gonna prep your bun and everything, and then get all your sides and stuff. And then you're gonna pick up your burger and or hot dog. Outside by the grill. We have started making the burgers and dogs, so they should be done soon. But until then, have fun. We do have 3 cornhole games that we can set up. At some point, we'll do Plaster the Pastor. And then I also have a word search and a fun quiz to put the president's dog with the president name. So match the dog and the president. Okay. Have fun.
Thank you. And a big cheer for the band. Yay.
So glad the morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to wait home on God's list for sure. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning and when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning and when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where jamming never ends. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I say when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.